really high-quality kind of speaker with us. I haven't met Mr. Hinkston until today, but Art Hill, who arranged for him to speak with us, has met with him on, I think, one or two occasions. I'm not sure, but Art was really encouraged about the discussion and topic today. And Mr. Hinkston has been for how many years? How many years have you been with the district here?
Yes, this is my 10th
year. 10 years he's been with the Missouri district as the assistant director of education and youth ministry, and that's going to be, I think, perhaps one of the most important areas in terms of, you know, outside the pulpit and counseling that you're going to be involved in is with working with your young people and working in having a good, sound educational program in Bible studies and whatnot in the parish. So I'm sure he has a lot of exciting and interesting things to share with us today. With that, I'll just let him go from there.
Thank you. Why don't you lay these out back there and pass a few out here. Good to be with you today. And I'm not sure I really need this, but it might help if they want to tape it and so forth. My name is Duane Hinks. I'm, first of all, I would have to say I'm a husband and father, former teacher. Met my wife at River Forest, graduated in 1953. Spent about 3 years in a one-room school, teaching all 8 grades. Moved to St. Louis 20 years ago and moved into a large school from that small school where I had half of a sixth grade and athletic director. So, you know, from 42 children in all eight grades to about 25 in half of a sixth grade. And then moving into eighth grade, taught eighth graders for about 10 years. Served more or less as an assistant principal while I got my graduate degree in administration from Washington University here in St. Louis. I'm a Michigander, born and raised in southwest Michigan near St. Joseph and Benton Harbor. My dad is a farmer and still living up there and surviving as a truck farmer on 20 acres of land, which he has done his entire life. And I've been in St. Louis, as I say, 20 years. 10 years ago, received a call to the Missouri District Office of Education and Youth Ministry as assistant to the director, and have been serving in that capacity ever since. Have 3 children, a daughter who's teaching out in Ellisville, a son who's doing graduate work in biochemistry at the University of Missouri in Columbia, and I have an 8th grader, a junior higher. And that's kind of exciting to have that number of years in parent-teacher links, if you know what I mean. When you've got a 24-year-old that's been in school since she was 4 or 5 years old, and I'm still going to PTL meetings and still enjoy it. And I was invited to talk to you a little bit about Christian education and youth ministry. My title is the director out there, and I would not want to make my boss mad. My boss is Mr. Harold Limer, who is the director of parish education, and he is responsible for the placement of all educational personnel in this district, and we can talk about that a little bit later. The outline that you have before you is something that we can stick to, or we you know, can move in any direction you'd like to talk about as far as Christian education is concerned. But I felt at least it gave us something to start with. Before I get into that, I'd also like to say that I have become well acquainted with Jim Wells over here to my right, who is a fourth-year student here. And we were in the same parish in University City, St. Andrews, for a number of years. Since you got to St. Louis, you started there. So this would be 4 years, taking a year out for Vicarage in Iowa, right? And back now, to anxiously looking forward to a call too, right, Jim? We went through the traumatic experience of transferring because our daughter is going to be confirmed at a county church. We've transferred out there after spending almost 21 years at St. Andrews University City. So we've left a lot of friends there, but know that the Lord is going to direct the ministry there too. So that's who I am and a little bit about what I do. My district responsibility is to do a lot of field service work. The old concept of the visiting superintendent, if you recall years ago, the superintendent would visit. Well, I really do that yet in Missouri. In fact, yesterday I spent the morning in one of our schools here in St. Louis observing teachers, not to evaluate. I don't really go in to evaluate teachers, but to get to know them, to offer some suggestions. I fill out no forms. Any notes I take, I share with those teachers afterwards so they know exactly what I have written. And I, in turn, share this with my boss so that he has a little better understanding of who these people are, too. So I do the field service work in this district. We have 67 Lutheran elementary schools and about 470 Lutheran elementary teachers for which our office is responsible as one part of its area of responsibility. My boss takes care of all the placement of those individuals. I assist him then in all the other areas of part-time education, too, as well as take the full responsibility for youth ministry in this district from a district level and a district perspective. And I guess my goal for today would be simply to share with you some information in general about how I see education functioning and how you, as future parish pastors, coming from all walks of life, some of you coming through the system, some having made a decision to come into the ministry because you felt strongly about that, that this was the Lord's directive to you from other walks of life and from other occupations. And you're using your talents, and you're going to be using your talents to share the gospel message with the people in the parish or into the ministry that you're going to be going into which the Lord directs you. And I think that's kind of important. So, you know, when you take a look at that total congregational ministry, there's more to it than just education. So that my emphasis today on education doesn't mean that evangelism isn't going on and stewardship and all the other things that go on in a parish ministry. And I would like to simply alert you to some of the things that you need to be aware of as you work in a congregation, some of you going back, maybe in another capacity. You've been a teacher for a number of years in the congregation. You're going to be going back from a pastoral point of view. So that, you know, you have a knowledge and a background. Others may be coming into the church and not be aware of the function of the pastor and his role in directing ministry in that congregation. So that when I talk about Christian education and its implications, that doesn't mean that the rest aren't important. I think, first of all, what you have to do and to be aware of as a pastor is that your responsibility is to share the Christian faith with the people that you touch, to strengthen them so that they can grow in their faith and be joyful about their ministry. My wife and I, in the last year, have gotten into the daily walk that's put out by the Navigators. Some of you may know that. But for my wife and myself, this is the first time, really, and, you know, being in the ministry for 25 years, I hate to admit this, but I have never read the Bible from cover to cover. I've never read it from cover to cover. But I'm going to make it. And my wife is going to make it with me. And we have really begun to see, I think, some new insights into what the Lord was saying. Well, if you've been reading along with that, I came across something that I've talked about in a number of my presentations to PTL that I read someplace and have used. And that statement was simply that we are one generation, the church is one generation away from extinction. One generation away from extinction. If we would not transmit our faith to the succeeding generation, conceivably, you know, the church could go out of business. Well, this week in our reading, or last weekend, in Judges chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, where it talks about the death of Joshua in good news, let me read to you what is found there. Joshua sent the people of Israel on their way, and each man went to take possession of his own share of the land after this had been divided. As long as Joshua lived, the people of Israel served the Lord, and even after his death, they continued to do so as long as the leaders were alive who had seen for themselves all the great things that the Lord had done for Israel. The Lord's servant Joshua, son of Nun, died at the age of 110. he was buried in his own part of the land at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim north of Mount Gash. Verse 10. That whole generation also died, and the next generation forgot the Lord and what he had done for Israel. The next generation forgot the Lord, and if you read the rest of Judges, and I'm sure you're familiar with it too, you discover their actions and how they responded to that. So that I had some reinforcement for that statement that I had been making and had read someplace. The church is one generation, or could conceivably be one generation, away from extinction if we don't really work at sharing the joy of what it means to be a Christian in a, and I'm going to say, in your congregation and in its Christian education program and in its ministry. In order for this to happen, you need to organize. And a couple of comments about organizing for that ministry. You need a board of education. You should have a board of education. If you have a congregation that has a day school, I would strongly urge you to consider two boards, one for the educational program and one for the day school. I've seen it work in this district. I know congregations where it is working, because what happens if you've got a day school, that the time of the committee is taken up with all the concerns and some of the things that deal with that, and then the other ones, well, we ought to talk about Sunday school, or we ought to talk about Vacation Bible School. So they've really divided it into two groups, and one group simply takes care of the day school. Maybe it's a separate board, or it's a subcommittee of your Board of Education. But I would strongly urge you to think about that. If you get into a parish that has a school, think about that. A day school committee and a Board of Education that deals with the other educational agencies, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. I think you should have, and coming from a background of strong youth ministry, I think your Board of Youth Ministry ought to have equal status with the Board of Education, the Board of Elders, and the other officers. St. Andrews in New City has that on their church council, for example. The chairman of the Evangelism Committee, the chairman of the Board of Youth Ministry, the chairman of the Board of Education are voting members on the church council. And what that does in my mind, and here I'll express a bias, that gives equal status to youth ministry in a congregation, and it doesn't become a subcommittee of the Board of Elders or the Board of Education. And I think that can help the young people in your church, in your educational program, feel that they are a part of it and have a voice, because that position has voting power regardless of how your congregation is set up. So I would urge you to think of that. You may want to react to that a little bit later, too. And I think in that organization, or that next point is, who are you trying to serve? Who do you try to serve in your congregation? When you get into that parish, you better identify that group. If you're going to say, hey, we ought to have a, what we really need in this congregation is a strong Vacation Bible School program. Do you have people for that? Do you have staff? Do you have students? Or you say, we really need to build up the Sunday school. There isn't, you know, there aren't any children coming to Sunday school. We need to build it up. You have to identify who the people are in your community that you're serving. And if there are opportunities for that, identify these people in your congregation, in your community, and serve them. So you have to identify these people and examine, you know, the age levels of that particular congregation. You know, how many families do you have? Should we offer a family type of educational ministry? What about the older adults? What about senior citizens? Should we do something for that? Can we open up our basement? I'll use an example of a congregation I know again at St. Andrews. Every day at noon, there are meals for the senior citizens, not only of the people in the immediate community that belong to the church, but for the non-members. So they're coming into that church every day at noon into the church basement for senior citizen meals. Senior citizens that are living alone. Identify the people that you're trying to serve and try to meet their needs. What about within the congregation? Older adults, middle-aged adults, young adults, high school youth. I put in something that you don't often think of, and that's junior high youth. Junior high youth. You see, I've got a junior high youth again this year. It's been a few years since I had one, and that age span tells me something. You know, things have changed in the last 10 years or 9 years since my son was a junior high student. And, you know, what are you doing to meet the needs of these kids on a junior high level? What about the elementary youth in your congregation? What about the nursery, kindergarten, early childhood? You know, is it possible that your congregation could provide a daycare center? Now, in Missouri, you really would have a tough time opening up a daycare center in a congregation because of the state laws and requirements. Fencing and open, you know, in the morning from 6 o'clock until 6 at night, 5 days a week, qualified staff. You know, you really have to do some investigating. But maybe that's a need your congregation can serve. Maybe there's another way of serving. Maybe it is with a preschool. Parents who want their children to get a start in early childhood education. And you know, I feel very strongly. In Missouri District, for example, we have over 50 units of early childhood education going on from Kansas City to LaGrange, an excellent preschool up here in LaGrange, which is just on the Mississippi River and about 20 miles from the Iowa state line. Got a qualified teacher. Excellent program going on. Down to Springfield, to St. Joe, Missouri, down to Cape Girardeau. It's a pretty good-sized district with 290 congregations. So there are plenty of opportunities in this district for that. But in your parish, you might want to explore that. What about early childhood education? And then what about God's special children? I don't know how many of you are into the background of special education, but Public Law 92-142. Does that number ring a bell with any of you? Public Law 92-142. And that's a law which simply states that every child, regardless of age, should first of all be identified and should have the opportunity for education in a normal school setting. Now, in St. Louis, you know that we have, the city has a special school district section for those people, and so does the county. But the whole concept of mainstreaming today into a regular classroom, do you have any children in your congregation who have special needs, God's special children, to recognize them as gifts of God, too, with their special talents and abilities? And how can we incorporate them into our family and into our congregational family? But you've got to identify them and find out if they're there. And the last one I've listed is multicultural concerns. And I've listed that. And you may say, well, we don't have any Hispanics. We don't have any Indians. We don't have any blacks. That's not what I'm talking about. What does your congregation feel? How does your congregation feel about multicultural ministry and awareness? I think the one word I would like to have you add to that is awareness. How can I help the white people of my congregation or the black people of my congregation become aware of the broad diversity of people and how we can minister to the needs of these people? So, there are all kinds of age levels, and you need to organize to meet the needs of those age levels. You need to establish goals, and each one is going to have a different goal. You can't come at it with one topic or one major goal of Christian education. Well, maybe I better back up and say, yes, my main goal is to share Jesus Christ and the joy of the gospel. But the way I do it, the way I try to meet the needs so that these people can come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, is going to be determined by the people in my community and the people in my congregation. Now, I've listed next the agencies and the organizations and the activities there that might help you meet some of those needs. You know, what about the Sunday school? What about the weekday school? Confirmation program, day school, Lutheran High, preschool, Vacation Bible School, adult education. I could talk probably for the next hour just on those agencies and the importance of each one and what you do with each one. You have Sunday school, for example, for youth and adults. You know, what about adult education on Sunday morning? What about adult education or Sunday school, you know, for special interest groups or special opportunities? And, you know, is a weekday school the way to go? Should we organize a weekday school? You say, well, the congregation I'm going into, I've got a call who's got a day school. No need for a weekday school. Maybe you better take a look at that. Maybe there is an opportunity for weekday school along with the day school. A couple of the larger congregations in this community have both a day school and a weekday program. They're well organized for this, and they're looking at ways to integrate and to bring these two groups together and opportunities for these people to get to know each other. What about your confirmation program? You know, are you going to go in and do it as you were taught? Are you going to explore some other possibilities? What are the advantages, disadvantages of one program as opposed to another? What about the day school? Our church still feels, and has said so in synodical convention, that the day school is the best agency to reach children in the congregation with a complete Christian education program. Now, you may have feelings about that one way or another, and your congregation may have feelings about that. You know, but if you've got a school, let's support it. Let's see if it's meeting the needs. And examine it. Be willing to examine it. And be as positive as you can as you take a look at it. What about a Lutheran high school? 20 years ago, when I got to St. Louis, there was a Lutheran high school in St. Louis. Now there are two. Probably across the country, there were 10. Now there are over 50. We will open a new high school in Kansas City this fall in the greater Kansas City area. There's a feasibility study. There's a book. If you have a community, you get into a community that starts talking about it, talk to the people at Synod. You can get the book. It's step by step just how to go about organizing, beginning, what letters to write, what to say, how to get people together. And every step of the way, a vote for yes, we go ahead because we think it's still a possibility, or no, at this point, everything seems to indicate that it's not a possibility. And it's all laid out for you. It's well done. And that's what the Kansas City area started, and that's what they're going through. And at every step of the way, they have made a vote and a commitment. And the congregations in that area have made that decision. So if that's a possibility, find out what's available and what you can do about that. And what about early childhood and preschool? I've got that down there again. And then the Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School doesn't have to be the two-week thing that happens in the first 2 weeks in June. Explore options. What's the best way to meet the needs of the people in our community? The adult education. Now, are we offering Sunday morning options? The church I'm attending now has got one on the cults. Now, I taught a course on the cults, but I'm telling you, my eyes are being opened right now by the way the instructor is sharing with me some of the things that are happening with some of these cults, because he is knowledgeable about it. He's got some background. And how the young people and the young adults across the world are being affected by it, and what's happening with this whole cult thing. Adult education opportunities. The room for that particular course is filled. And just after the previous Sunday when we talked about it, my wife, and maybe some of you have been approached too by people from the Unity School, not Unity School, Unification Church. And how do you respond to these people? And she was able to make a witness, but it was very difficult. And it was an interesting experience for her. And how he poked his head in the window of the car and talked to my daughter and said, "And I guess you're a Christian because your mother's a Christian." And to hear her give her verbal witness, at least the way my wife said it, as to what Jesus Christ means to her, to that young man. And he said, as he left, my wife said, "Well, we'll pray for you." And he said, "Don't tell me that. I've heard that. So many people have told me they're going to pray for me. I don't have time for you now." And he went on. But, you know, what are you doing in your congregation and when you get into that congregation to explore possibilities? And, you know, when your people encounter situations like this, how are you going to help them grow in sharing their faith? That's education. And what can you offer in adult education in your congregation to begin to meet those needs? And what about your professional staff? You know, is it a team? Do you go in? Are you going into that parish, regardless of all the experience you've had in the past, you know, about how you saw this pastor operate, or what you've heard about this one, or what you've heard about this school principal, or what you've heard about this DCE? I really think you ought to concentrate on a team ministry approach. Sure, someone has to make the decisions. Someone ultimately is answerable. But if you go in and you have an opportunity to develop a team approach, you know, maybe you've got an assistant pastor, an associate pastor. Maybe you go in as an associate or assistant, a DCE, a principal, teachers, in your day school? What about lay ministers? We've got a congregation in Blue Springs, Missouri, that has a minister of evangelism. You were telling me that you were a teacher of evangelism and had that role. Well, this man wants to be an evangelist, and there is a congregation in our district that is so into evangelism that they called him as an associate pastor in the area of evangelism. And that congregation, you know, is really booming. Blue Springs, Missouri. Bill Garrity is a pastor, and Howard Hilsebeck is the man who was called as the minister of evangelism there. He was at a campus ministry down here in Rolla, went up to Northern Illinois for a while, and this opportunity developed, and the Lord has directed him here. It's kind of exciting to have that. We only have about five of those across Synod that are really just ministers of evangelism or an evangelist kind of thing. Might be somebody to bring in and talk to sometime, that he's really dedicated to that. What are you doing, and what can you do in your parish when you get there to develop a professional approach? And what about in-service education, opportunities for growth? You know, the teacher who graduated 10 years ago and hasn't cracked an education book since, or the pastor who has graduated 10 years ago or 15 years ago and hasn't even cracked a theology book or anything relative to it since, and is still doing it the same way. You know, are you going to be that kind of person? Don't look at the other guy. You know, what am I going to do in my ministry to grow professionally? You know, set aside time to read. Are you going to provide opportunities in your congregation so that there will be in-service education opportunities for your staff? Bring in someone, have a retreat. In-service education, let me just throw in another one. If you're going into confirmation ministry, and I'd like to just talk about that, I strongly urge every pastor, in order to get to know those kids on a first-name basis, is to start out your confirmation year with a retreat so that you get to know those kids. You eat with them, you sleep with them. Well, you know what I mean by that. But you talk to them, you get to know them on a first-name basis. Because once they're confirmed, think of yourself, when you were confirmed, if you came through that system, how often did you go back and talk to your pastor? How often did you look to him as a counselor? Your pastor may have wanted you to, but why didn't you go back? Are you going to carry on that same kind of ministry when you get there? What kind of role are you going to play when you get into that parish? I could tell you some stories about counseling that are going on in this district, in this city, with young people that pastors are performing because they have developed a relationship with kids and with the young adults in their congregation, that they come and share and they talk to them. Kids who are on drugs, kids who are ready to take their own life, we've got one girl in the western part of this district where there's a counseling situation where she's boasted, you know, how many guys she slept with this week. And she's a 16-year-old. And it's not just stories either. It's fact. But she does have a relationship at this point with someone who is counseling her and helping her work through that, and with her parents. That's a role that you're going to have to play and be involved in. Now, where can we, as professionals, you know, sitting in the ivory towers of St. Louis, and we wear two hats in Missouri, because not only are we in the same location as the synodical offices, but the district offices are here too. So sometimes people don't really want to come and talk to us. But your synodical staff people and your district staff people can be a resource to you and can be extremely helpful to you. For example, Synod's Board of Parish Education and their Board of Youth Ministry and their staff have many things that they can help you with. And all you have to do is call them. Let them know you have a need, and they will do all they can to try to meet that need or direct you to someone who can. And likewise on a district level, when you get into the district, make it a point, if you can possibly do it, to get into the district office, wherever it's located, and just say, hey, you know, when I call on the phone, I'd like to know what that face of that secretary looks like, or the face of the people that are going to be serving me. Make it a point to take a trip, even if you aren't invited, and invite yourself in to meet these people so that you can be of service to them. You have a board of youth, a board of parish ed in your district. You have a board of youth ministry in your district. They have staff and or chairman, depending on the size of the district. Some of them will have staff. We're fortunate in Missouri that we have two staff people. We have almost 110,000 communicant members in this district. So that there are many opportunities for service, and you can't meet all the faces, you know, and remember every name that comes before you. You work at it, but go to those people, ask them for help, and get to meet them. Very specifically, your district president is responsible. Let's say that you have a school. Your district president is responsible for seeing to it that you get names of candidates, or that when you want to graduate from one of the schools, one of the synodical schools for your congregation's educational program or a DCE, he's the one who is to process the forms for you. And in our district, that is then transferred to the district education office, and the district education exec takes care of that. My boss handles that. And so all of that process takes place. You need a new person, you call that office, you write them a letter, these are our needs, and contact that person for that kind of service. So they assist you in securing and processing candidates, whether it's principal, teacher, DCE, you want to start an early childhood education program, they can help you, looking for resources and professional people. They can provide printed information and visual resources for you. They can provide workshops for Sunday school teachers, weekday school teachers, vacation Bible school, volunteer teachers. I can't say enough about the volunteer. What are you doing to help your volunteer feel good about it? We were amazed. Again, we shouldn't be, but we always are, at the interest and the dedication of Sunday school teachers. We had people this year at the Synodical Sunday School Convention in Chicago that passed up lunch and dinner, to take in as many of the sectionals as they could that were offered on various techniques for working in the Sunday school. Your lay people are some of the most dedicated people you're going to find in your parish. And you want to do all you can to build them up and develop that their ministry and support them in it. There are many special areas that your district can provide for you as far as services. Marriage and family counseling. What can they do to help you in that area? What can they do as far as in youth ministry, youth gatherings, training for youth leaders? Effectiveness training for Lutherans. That program has gotten flack in the past few years. I'm a trained instructor. I feel that it, when used in a Christian setting, the skills that it has in it can be very helpful as you communicate and counsel with young people, with adults, to help them open up avenues of communication and keep them open. And then what about the resources? You know, educational ministry, director of Christian education, parish renewal, adults, youth, confirmation, family living, Lutheran schools, early childhood elementary and secondary. On the backside, you get into special ed, Sunday schools, program resources for one half day workshops, weekday schools, tracts. The volume is there, the material is there, and the new one is for 79 and 80 is being printed and processed. The Guide to Growth is what's available from CPH as far as programs. That new one is in process, should be out right away. But those kind of materials you should be aware of. Now, one of the things you're going to find as a pastor when you get into your congregation, the amount of mail that comes across your desk. And sometimes it comes in postage saver envelopes, simply because you've got to save postage. I got a mailing going out right now that's 950. Well, 950 pieces, I can save money by going postage saver. But sometimes the church secretary looks at that and says, hey, it's junk mail. It doesn't have a first-class stamp on it. Well, if I put first-class postage on it and try to get that into the hands of these people, that would be very difficult indeed. So, you know, sort through it. Take a look at it. There's so much available. You do have to sort through. Channel it to your education chairman. Channel it to whoever is supposed to be responsible for it. And, you know, put it in his mailbox and see that he gets it. One of the criticisms that comes out many times is that the pastor is one of the worst bottlenecks of getting people or getting information out to the leaders in his parish. Well, let's not become a bottleneck. Let's use that as an opportunity to channel and direct ministry so that, you know, evangelism material gets to the evangelism people. And just one final thought or suggestion before I, you know, I see by the clock that I better shut up. That last item talks about evaluation. Evaluation. If you're not constantly taking a look at what you're doing and constantly trying to evaluate the programs you have, you're going to become stagnant, you know. Well, let's see, what did we do last year as far as VBS is concerned? When VBS is over, sit down with your staff. What are some of the good things that happened? What are some of the things we need to take a look at? Jot those notes down. And then develop a calendar. What are we going to do next year? By when John will have accomplished certain things, okay? Those objectives kind of things. And get some commitment. I've got a note on my desk. By 2:30 this afternoon, I have to get something to a pastor down in southwest Missouri via telephone. But I'm at that point where I'm trying to do that myself, to organize it in such a way. Okay, do the same thing for your educational programs and activities and channel it to these people. I may have raised some questions, or maybe you'd like to react to some of these things. I'd like to throw it open for any reaction or feelings or questions that you may have at this point. Well, that's a no. Now, we got into the budget crunch along with everybody else, and so we got that cut out as we evaluated our ministry down the line. It's postponed for 1 year, so we're going into it in a year as far as a district. Youth staff are in Missouri for a district person. Daryl is interested in that because we had talked about that quite a bit at a meeting we had last fall of leaders, and Daryl was involved in that in our district. Any other questions, comments, reactions? I saw my role today basically then as one of trying to provide information for you as to what your role might be in the parish as a pastor as you look at the educational ministry that you want to conduct. Avail yourself then of the staff people in your district. Get to know who they are, who to write to, and these people are there. They want to help you. And invite them into your parish when you get there as they're driving through the district. I spend a lot of time on the road in this district, and that's where I want to be. Not behind a desk, but out there in service to the people in this district. And I think that's what your education execs in all the districts want, as well as however that's handled in the district where they may not have one. They may have people who come in and minister that way. Comment. Get a group of eighth graders in front of you for your confirmation class for the first time, and they're climbing the walls. You wonder, what am I going to do to get my point across? I guess there's no easy answer. When you get into a situation like that, I think, first of all, sit down and talk to the professional people in your congregation. Are there teachers in your congregation who may be able to give you some insights? I was involved in the first teaching practicum that started here at Concordia Seminary. I don't know how long ago, but they sent out every one of the students here at one time, had to go into the classroom, had to write lesson plans, had to teach. You're still doing that? Okay. And to get to at least that feel. But it's still not the same thing as walking in and, you know, first shot out of the gun in that new parish, September rolls around, hey, Pastor, you got confirmation class, and here they are. and you're supposed to be the expert now with all the educational skills and teaching skills with all the new techniques that are available. I think first and foremost, get to know the kids. Get to know them and talk to them. It's interesting. I've tried certain things that way myself. Talking to a child, getting to know them by name, asking them something, you know, I think a pastor on Sunday morning ought to get into Sunday school. If he's not teaching a class, you ought to visit those nursery kids, and you ought to visit those eighth graders, you know, wherever they are on a Sunday morning, and talk to them, get to know them. Drop in once in a while wherever they are. You know, where do the young people hang out? You want to be in a, get a relationship with young people? Where do they hang out? Drop in on them once in a while. Say hi. Suddenly appear at a basketball game, you know. Acknowledge that they're there. Get to know the young people, first of all. Acquaint yourself with some skills in teaching. You know, try some things. If this doesn't work, admit it. Say, hey, I tried this. It didn't work. Bounce it off of somebody, a neighboring pastor, your district education exec, or your district youth, or district education chairman, somebody that you can call and say, hey, I need some help. You know, what do you got to help me? Maybe the pastors in that circuit can set up a workshop of one type or another that can help you grow that way. But avail yourself of it. And when you don't know, honestly admit, hey, I'm having some trouble. I need some help. What can you do to help me? I'd say that's one of the biggest problems in our district right now. Not a problem, but a concern. That many pastors are very much concerned with how do I convey the gospel message to the children in my interrogation and confirmation class effectively. Good question. Okay, our time is up. I'd like to share with you in closing, before you close it off, this statement from Vic Constein's little book, and it's described in the resources, your congregation's educational ministry, and it's the last one. And this is a summary of your educational ministry. It's my summary. We affirm that Christian education is an essential function of the church. We affirm that Christian teaching must provide occasions for Christians to speak of God's love to one another, to witness to their Lord by dealing with one another in love and forgiveness, and to reach out in love to others in their community. We affirm that the church must encourage more extensive, intensive, and evangelical use of the Bible in its educational programs for the renewal of the church's life and spirit. We affirm that consecrated teachers need to be trained who will proclaim and teach the word. We affirm that in the process of Christian education, every member of the church must be both teacher and learner. We affirm that the Christian family is an influential agency in Christian education, and the church must equip fathers and mothers for their important mission. We affirm that effective administration and evangelical supervision are needed to carry forward programs of Christian education. Thank you for inviting me. If you want to stay and talk afterwards, I'll be here for as long as you need. Thank you. Again, we want